This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Gunnison and Noel Lim. We are continuing our discussion on the National Recovery Plan, which was announced by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin yesterday afternoon. Based on the different phases highlighted in the plan, the country will be under some form of movement restriction for the short to medium term. Phase 2 will see some economic sectors open, but social sectors remain closed. Phase 3 is when a larger part of the economy will resume operations, interstate travel though still prohibited, and Phase 4 is only envisioned to come into effect at the end of the year.
In his address, the Prime Minister said that the current MCO is costing Malaysian economy about 1 billion ringgit a day. In the first MCO, the country lost around 2.4 billion ringgit by some estimates, and the figure fell to around 300 million ringgit during the MCO 2.0. So what are the implications for a longer prolonged restrictions, and how will this affect the economy? We'll take a look at that right now.
Yes, indeed. And joining us to share his thoughts on what this is going to mean for businesses is Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysian University of Science and Technology. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us. So is this four-phase national recovery plan a workable exit plan, in your opinion? Does it provide sufficient clarity for businesses to plan their activities for the remainder of the year?
Well, good morning. At least we have a plan now. And so that is actually very useful because it is giving us an idea of what the government has in mind. We actually predicted earlier, I think last month, that this process would last until the end of the year. And now the government is sort of confirming that and telling us, well, at least we have some stages that we can go through to help us through it. So it's good that we have a plan, but of course, whenever you put details down like this, people are going to ask questions. They're going to ask questions about the threshold numbers of cases. For example, what does it mean to have 4,000 cases or 2,000 cases or 500 cases? They're going to ask questions about the use of the ICUs, for example. What does it mean to have a moderate use or sufficient use of the ICUs? And they're also going to ask some questions, I think, about the percentage of vaccinated people. I mean, to move from phase one to phase two, the threshold would be 10% vaccinated, which would mean 90% of people are still not vaccinated. So what does that tell us about the level of protection generally? So there will be some of these questions asked about the details. I think many SMEs in particular will be asking questions about which sectors are going to open and what is the is there a list and when is that going to be put into place? And, of course, the big elephant in the room is going to be what's going to happen if there are variants. Because we have seen already in the United Kingdom, which has got a massive success rate in terms of the number of people who are vaccinated, the economy was supposed to open up on the 21st of June, now being delayed until the 19th of July, because there is a new variant. So what would happen to this national recovery plan in the event that we see an uptick? Not because of SOPs or anything like that, but because new variants are arising. And these are some of the questions I think people will be asking.
Apart from these metrics, like daily metrics, daily cases, ICU and vaccination rates, what other benchmarks need to be in there?
I think if this is an economic plan, we need to have economic benchmarks. We need to be looking at the number of companies that are closing down. I mean, the SME Association told us already 100,000 companies have closed down, and there could be another 50,000. That was before this plan was announced, so it could be even more than 50,000 would close down further. The Department of Statistics has produced some really great new data on the number of people who are underemployed. That is to say, they're not fully employed. They're taking any sort of work they possibly can in order to make ends meet. And if you add up the number of people who are fully unemployed and the people who are underemployed, 3.1 million people is 19% of the total workforce. So if we're having an economic plan, we have to really look at the economic costs. Now, we estimate the economic cost of this plan could be as much as 170 billion ringgit, which was, according to our estimates, is something like 20 or even 30 times more than it would cost actually to treat people with COVID. And these are the type of indicators we need to look at.
Now, Jeffrey, according to the plan, the earliest we could see large parts of the economy reopen is September, with some sectors remaining closed until the end of the year. You noted there that you have an estimate towards the cost of this all. But beyond the cost, what are some of the potential economic implications of having all these sectors shut down for so long? Like, taking into consideration the fact that we've been doing this for about 15 months now.
Yes, well, Bank Negara produced their economic assessment earlier this year in their annual report and the economic review, and they pointed to something that we had also highlighted, which is that in economic terms, when you go through this crushing lockdown for extended periods, you get a great deal of what we are calling economic scarring. And what that means is there is a great deal of damage that is done, and it doesn't repair itself quickly. And from that perspective, Bank Negara have said that the underlying growth rate of the economy could be as much as 1.3% lower as a consequence of this than it was before the crisis. And what that means is its capacity, its business activity, its revenues, its jobs that are gone and that won't come back. And that's the consequence of stretching out the economic recovery plan.
So what kind of support should be reasonably expected of the government in order to cushion the impact of the prolonged movement restrictions on vulnerable groups?
Well, we said it before, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to just say it again. And, you know, the point is people need cash in their pockets now, and companies need revenues. And where do companies get revenues from? They get it from people spending money. So the government needs to put money in people's hands. And we are of the view that direct cash transfers are the best way of doing that. Now, we estimate 60 billion ringgit would give 1,500 ringgit per month per household for the B40 and M40 groups. And we think that that would be sufficient to provide help for households and revenues for companies. But we also think that there should be a 40 billion ringgit package directed at structural reform, particularly amongst SMEs, to make sure that they can survive and hopefully even grow through this period. So a total package would be about 100 billion.
Prof, any thoughts on how we fund that, though? That's always the existential question, right? We know the answer is cash transfers, but how do we fund this kind of program?
All right. Well, I mean, the politicians are insistent on borrowing. But it isn't necessary to borrow. You can print money. The central bank has, actually, printing money is a form of debt. The central bank has sovereignty over printing money.
Yeah,
so
but
the central bank could print the money.
Yeah, but I guess there are always implications of that, right? There are always going to be sovereign ratings questions. There are going to be currency implications. Do you think the trade-off here, that's where we've come to?
Well, I think we have, because if we're right about the 170 billion cost, but that's equivalent to more than 12% of GDP. So if your economy is contracting, and we believe that there is now a 55% chance of the economy having a negative growth rate by the end of the year, again, 2 years of negative growth, and that would have a devastating effect on your sovereign ratings. So you have to make a judgment and a balance about these things. It's all about economic judgment and economic balance. Unfortunately, it appears to me that in this policy discussion, there's far too much focus on the medical side of things and far too little discussion on the economic implications, especially as we are stretching it out now over 2 years.
The government was silent on the state of emergency and whether it should be extended or lifted in August as originally planned. Are there economic arguments in favour of an extension of this emergency and also the reopening of the parliament?
I think the only real economic implication of that would be that if Parliament were reopened, we would get a sense of whether there was a consensus around the government's plans, and because the Parliament would be able to debate it. And there might also be some options about alternatives. Who knows, perhaps the government might be able to accommodate some alternatives. But apart from that, really, the question of opening Parliament is a matter for the ad hoc and on the advice of the Prime Minister.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Professor Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysian University of Science and Technology. And, you know, I think he's just emphasizing that really there haven't been enough measures put in place to support businesses and to spur spending in order to really ensure that our economy doesn't fall too far into the doldrums. I don't know whether printing money is necessarily the answer, though.
Yeah, so I think it's really going to be a fine balance, right? Save the economy or save the ringgit, take your pick. That's one. But two, I think he's basically saying there are a lot more indicators that we need to look at in this national recovery plan. I suspect that this plan is just going to be a baseline, and as we go along in these 2 months, they're going to add or take out indicators.
Yeah, that's the concern, right? When we borrow money, there are going to be consequences to that. It's whether we've come to that point where we break the glass, emergency glass at this point.
Yeah, so do continue to let us know what you think on the poll that we have running on the BFM Twitter account, asking you how confident are you with the National Recovery Plan. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.